Well, two fantastic talks, don't you think?
Yes.
It's quite amazing what you can discover from the archives, and what, you know, having this work done for us, how much more accessible it's all going to be to all of us. And I think we're all going to want to look up that word book as well, Dorset Words. So what we're going to do for you now is just a short presentation of Barnes' poems, mostly spoken in the dialect, interspersed with bits of music. The music all comes from the manuscript of Benjamin Rose, who lived at Belchalwell, just outside Oakford Fitzpaine. And we'll have a poem in the course of this called Bob the Fiddler, who we think is the actual chap who wrote this little book, Benjamin Rose. We think Barnes must have known him and wrote about him. So we'll hear that in a minute. So it's music and words, and I thought they're quite short, so I'll ask you not to clap each item, otherwise we'll be here quite a long time and there's still cake to eat and there's a football match starting quite soon. So listen and enjoy the sounds, and I think I'll ask the readers to just introduce each poem with the title, and then at the end I'll tell you who they all are in case you don't know. But first of all, I'll call up Brian Caddy, our chairman, to begin with one of our very favourite poems.
The Shepherd of the Farm. Oh, I be the shepherd of the farm. We tinkling bells and sheepdogs bark, and we my crook avert my arm ere I'd a rove below the lark. And I'd abide all day among the bleating sheep and pitch their fold, and when the evening shades be long, to see them all a penned and told. And I'd a see the frisking lambs wi' swinging tails and woolly lags, a-playing round their feed in dams, a-pulling of their milky bags. And I beside a hawthorn tree, to sit upon the sunny down, while shades of summer clouds to flee, we silent flight along the ground. And there among the many cries of sheep and lambs, my dog to pass a sultry hour, wi' blinking eyes and noses stretched upon the grass. But in a twinkling at my word, he's all awake and up and gone out round the sheep like any bird to do what he's a sent upon. And I'd a good a washing pole, a sousing over head and ears the shaggy sheep to clean their wool and make them ready for the shears. And when the shearing time to come, then we'd a work from dawn till dark, where some to shear the sheep and some to mark their sides we maisters mark. And when the shearing's all a-done, then we to eat and drink and sing in maester's kitchen, till the tun we merry sounds to shake and ring. Oh, I be the shepherd of the farm. We tinkling bells and sheepdogs bark, and we my crook avert my arm, here I to rove below the lark.
If we could have anybody who wants to play Blue and Buff up here, we'll form the band just here. And then ask Davina to introduce it with a poem. So, anybody's going to play? We go over here. Lovely, Davina.
Wonderful band. Summer evening dance. Come out to the parrock. Come out to the tree. Will the maidens and chaps be a-waiting for thee? There's Jim wi' his fiddle to play us some reels. Come out along wi' us and fling up thy eels. Come, all the long grass is a-mowed and a-card, and the turf is as smooth as a board and so hard. There's a bank to sit down when ye've danced a reel, Drew, and a tree overhead for to kip off the dew. There'd be roses and honeysucks hanging among the bushes to put in thy waist, and the song of the nightingales heard in the hedges all round, and I'll gie thee a glowworm to stick in thy gown. There's Mary so modest, and Jenny so smart, and Mags that do love a good romps to her heart. There's Joe at the mill that does sing funny songs, and short-legged Dick too, a wagon is prongs. So come out to the parrock, come out to the tree. The maidens and chaps be a-waiting for thee. There's Jim wi' his fiddle to play us some reels. Come out along wi' us and fling up thy ills.
Like a little play now. So Barnes wrote eclogues, which are means a rustic dialogue. They're on all sorts of subjects, some of them quite serious, some of them political. This one is about a domestic situation, so we're going to see, we're waiting for Father to come home, so come on up, Father. I mean, better have Mother as well. Yeah, and we want the child.
Hello, Mother.
Come on, child.
Are you all right?
And I'm just going to give you two or three of the dialect words that Ruth was talking about. One of the great legacies of Barnes is to keep these old specialised words, often to do with farming, with the way that people worked. And there are two or three in here which you will hear. The father comes home with a load of sticks on his back, and the sticks are held by a speaker, or it's like a great big spike. It's very long. In fact, it's so long that the child wants it to go coal pexing with. And you all know what that is. Knocking down the apples that are left at the end of the harvest after the trees have been shaken. There's a few left up there, and you go coal pexing to get them down. And the father's out digging all day, digging ditches, and he's come home soaking because he's broken his horse. And this is not a horse, it's a board that he's been standing on to try and keep the worst of the wet off it, but it's broken. And at the end there's a line about working by the tut. He's been doing different jobs, he's cutting wood and he's digging ditches. By the tut, that means piecework. So he's not employed full-time, he's being paid for what he produces. So, Father, come warm.
Oh, mother, mother, be the taties done? Here's father now a-coming down the track. He's got such a niche of wood upon his back and such a speaker in, and I'll be bound he's long enough to reach from ground up to the top of our tun. 'Tis just the very thing for Jack and I to go a-coals pexing wi' by and by.
The taties be ready pretty nigh, and do take one up upon the fart and try. The cake upon the fire too's a-burning, I be afeard. Do run and see and turn in.
Well, mother, here I be once more at one.
I be very glad you be a-come. Oh, you be a-tired and cold enough, I suppose. Sit down, rest your bones and warm your nose.
Why, I be nippy. What is there to eat?
Well, your supper's nearly ready. I got some tatties here a-doing in the pot. I wish we all my heart I had some meat. I got a little cake too, here a-baking on upon the fire. 'Tis done by this time, though. He's nice and moist, for when I were a-making on, I stuck some bits of apple in the dough.
Well, father, what do you think? The pig got out this morning, and afore we seed our hearden, he's run about and got in the garden, and routed up the grounds, though, with his snout.
Now, only think of that. You must contrive to keep him in, or else he'll never thrive.
And, father, what do you think? I found today the nest where that old hen of ours to lay. 'Twere out in Orchard Hedge, and had 5 eggs.
Look here, how wet you got your feet and legs. How did he get into such a pickle, John?
I broke my horse and been forced to stand all day in this here water for to dig and make myself some wet sod as a pig.
Father, take off your shoes, then come. I'll bring your old ones for you, nice and dry.
And have you got much hedging more to do?
Oh, enough to last for 3 weeks, more or so.
And when you've done the job you be about, do you think you have another round out?
Oh, yes, there'll be some more. For after that, I got a job of trenching to go at, and then some trees to shroud and wood to fell. So I'd have hoped to rub my arm pretty well till summertime, and then I'd be to cut the wood and do the trenching for the by the tut.
And next year, father, I'm going to go picking stones, do you know, for Farmer True.
And little Jack, you know, he's going to earn a penny too, a keeping birds off corn.
Oh, brave, what wages do her mean to gee?
She's drippums a day and tuppums a.
Oh, well, Polly, thou must work a little spracker. When thou bist out, or else thou wouldn't pick a dung pot load of stones up very quick.
Oh, yes, I shall. But Jack to want a clacker, and father, will he take and cut a stick or two to make in his hut?
You wench, why, you be always up a-baggin'. I be too tired now tonight, I'm sure. Does that a-doin' any more? So I shall go up out of the way of the wagon.
The boat. This references Barnes' early playground up in North Dorset. Where cows did slowly seek the brink of stour, drew sunburnt grass to drink, with fish and float that there did sink and rise, I sought as in a dream. The dazzling sun did cast his light on hedgerow blossom, snowy white, though nothing yet did come in sight, a-stirring on the straying stream. Till, out by shady rocks, there showed a boat along its foamy road, with thick fair maid at mill, a road with Jean behind her brother's oars. And stately as a queen of folk, she's up with floating scarlet cloak, and coming on at every stroke between my withy shaded shores. The broken stream did idly try to show her shape a riding by. The rushes' brown bloom stems did ply as if they bowed to her by will. The rings of water we a sock did break upon the mossy rock and gave my heart a beaten shock above my float's upleaping quill. Then, like a cloud below the skies had drifted off, with lessening size and lost, she floated from my eyes, where down below the stream did wind, and left the quiet waves once more to zinc, to rest, the sky-blued floor. We all so stills the cloak they bore, I, all but my own ruffled mind.
There's a great musicality in Barnes's poetry, and almost ever since they were first produced, people have been setting them to music. And this is one of his poems that he wrote after Julia died.
Since I no more do see your face upstairs or down below, I'll see in the lonesome place where flat-bowed beech do grow. Below the beech's bough, my love, where you did never come. And I don't grieve to meet you now as I do grieve at home. Since you no more be at my side in walks in summer hat, I'll go where mist to ride through trees are dripping wet. Below the rain wet bough, my love, where you did never come. And I don't grieve to miss you now as I grieve at home. Since now beside my dinner board your voice do never sound, I'll eat the bit I can afford, a field upon the ground. Below the darksome bough, my love, where you did never die, and I don't grieve to miss you now as I at home do pine. Since I do miss your voice and face in prayer at eventide, I'll pray with one sad voice for grace to go where you to bide. Above the tree and bough, my love, where you be gone afore, and be awaiting for me now to come forever.
Right. Peter, could you...
I'm on my way.
Come up and give us a poem about the man.
Bob the Fiddler. Ah. Oh, Bob the Fiddler is the pride of chaps and maidens, ver and wide. They can't keep up a merry tide, but Bob is in the middle. If merry Bob do come afore ye, he'll sing a song or tell a story. But if you'd seen in his glory, just let him have a fiddle. Aye, let him tuck a crown below his chin and gee his fist a bow. He'll dream his elbow to and fro and play what you do please. A maypoling or feast or fair, his arm will set off 20 pair and make him dance the ground dirt bare and hop about like fleas. Long life to Bob, the very soul and mirth at merry feast and pole. For when the crowd do leave his jail, they'll all be in the dumps. So at the dance another year, at Shillingston or Hazelbur, mid Bob be there to make him stir in merry jigs, their stumps. Hey.
Items for you. Going to get Alistair to do one of the seasonal poems, and in particular because the Society are going to be helping to raise money for a very important job at Lidlinch Hall, I think. And then we'll finish off by singing Lyndon Lee.
Well, this is a poem that's particularly close to my heart as, amongst other things, as you've seen tonight, a bell ringer. And this is probably my favourite Barnes poem, partly for its beautiful descriptions of the rural ways of life from years ago, but also the sense of time, not timelessness, but the bells in the tower having always been there for hundreds of years, and soon to be possibly joined by another bell, which is a very exciting thing that's going on in Didlinch at the moment. We went up there and recorded the bells, didn't we, Andy? The five bells, as get mentioned in the poem, and they're going to augment themselves to six. It's very exciting. So this is Didlinch Bells by William Barnes. When skies were pale with twinkling stars, and the whistling air arisen keen, and birds did leave the icy bars to find in woods their mossy screen, when frozen grass and white as sheet did scrunchy sharp below our feet, and water that did sparkle red at sunset were a frozen dead. The ringers then did spend an hour a ringing changes up in tower, for Didlinch bells be good for sound, and liked by all the neighbours round. And while along the leafless boughs of rustling hedges winds did pass, and orts of hay left by cows did rustle on the frozen grass, and maidens' pails with all their work had done did hang upon their verk, and they, afore the flaming brand, did take their needlework in hand. The men did cheer their heart an hour, ringing changes up in tower, for Didlinch bells be good for sound, and liked by all the neighbours round. There, sons did pull the bells that rung their mother's wedding peals afore, the while their fathers led them young and blushing from the church's door, and still did cheem with happy sound as time did bring the Sundays round, and call them to the holy place for heavenly gifts of peace and grace. And folk did come a-streaming slow along below the trees in row, while they in merry peals did sound the bells for all the neighbours round. And when the bells with changing peal did smite their own folks' window panes, their softened sound did often steal with west winds through the Begbur lanes. Or, as the wind did shift, mid go where woody stock do nestle low, or where the risen moon did light the walls of Thornhill on the height. And so, whatever time mid bring to make their five clear voices ring, still, Didlinch bells were good for sound, and liked by all the neighbours round.
Well done. Well done.
Right, could we have all the readers up, please, for the end here? So, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to... Let's start over here. Alistair Braidwood, and this here is Rod Drew and Joy Parsons, and Brian Caddy and Davina Symes and Peter Allison, and playing the fiddle here, Colin Thompson, and the child here, Angela Laycock.
And of course, Tim Laycock.
Tim Laycock. Yeah. So,
most of you know this lovely setting by Vaughan Williams of Lyndon Lee.
Quiver underfoot, and birds to wing. Tim Laycock and friends, thanks for joining me here on Keep 186, your favourite community radio station. So keep listening.